In Mark chapter 8, verse 27, you see a transition in Jesus' language and what he talks about. And starting in verse 27, Jesus and his disciples went onto a village around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say I am?" The first half of the gospel, he's talking about who he is. So he's asking, "So what did you come up with? What are people saying about me? Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others one of the prophets. Okay, but what about you guys? Let's get personal. Who do you think I am?" Well, Peter said, well, you're the Christ. And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. And then it's interesting, the next thing Jesus says, Peter says, "Okay, we know who you are. You're the one. You're the Messiah. You're the Christ." The next thing Jesus has to say is, "Okay, let me tell you what has to happen to me." He began at that moment to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. You know, there's a transition, there's a turning point here. You know, Jesus has been talking about a lot about who he is, and he's doing miracles and healing people, and the people around him are really amazed and thinking, "Wow, this is a special moment. We get to be part of it." And all of a sudden, Jesus is talking about something completely foreign and new about him dying and suffering. And it was hard to swallow for the disciples, a.k.a. Peter rebuking Jesus. Because all of a sudden, the first half of the gospel, the first part with Jesus and his disciples, it seemed like a victory story. And now Jesus is throwing a big wrench in this victory story, talking about suffering and dying.
Yeah.
And so what the language Jesus has used, he's going to talk a lot about his death coming up. And it's really going to mess with the disciples, because that's not the view they got in the first connection point with Jesus. That's not how they saw it going.
Yeah.
And so so we see a transition moment here, and that kind of tips off the rest of the Gospel of Mark and what we'll be reading about in the next several weeks. Now we're going to look at Mark chapter 9, and after Jesus starts talking about his death and his burial and his resurrection, one of the next things that happens is this thing called a transfiguration. So we're going to go to Mark 9 and verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Hey, Rabbi, I got a great idea. It's good for us to be here, and let's put up 3 shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He didn't know what to say. He was so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Let's talk about this for a little bit. We'll talk about being in the presence of God. Number one, being transformed by the presence of God. You know, Jesus was God, but he also was contained in the human form. And so he had a different relationship with the Trinity than he had before he was in human form. So he experienced the weaknesses that we experience. And he's up on this mountain, and all of a sudden he's changed. All of a sudden he's transformed. All of a sudden his clothes are glowing. And the three that were with him, they don't know what to make of it. It was frightening, actually. He's like, "Well, how can clothes be frightening? Clean clothes don't seem frightening to me. I take them out of the laundry and they don't seem frightening." But there's something going on here. You know, there's a story that they knew about Moses who went up on a mountain. And Moses went up on a mountain and he met with God. And God's glory was reflected in Moses to where he glowed. Mm-hmm. And it kind of freaked some people out when they saw Moses. He put something over his face. Moses reflected the glory of God. Jesus, he radiated the glory of God because he's God.
Right.
There's something different going on, but there's the same the same connection. There's Jesus in the presence of God together, and the radiation of the glory of God, and Peter and James and John are frightened because of this close brush with the intensity of the glory of God. I'm sure it did something to them. It changed them. It transformed them. It transformed Jesus. If we would get regularly, and I'm not saying we don't, but if we would regularly get in the presence of God, it should transform us.
Yeah.
It should do something to us. It should make us different somehow. You know, why do you read your Bible? Well, I don't. Well, it'd be a great thing to start. So, you know, if you don't, why read it? You know, after you know, decades of reading our Bible, why keep reading it? Because we want to step in the presence of God.
Yeah.
You know, why pray? Because we want to step in the presence of God. Why do we want to be in the presence of God? Because it changes us.
Yeah.
It changes the way we think. It changes the way we feel. We want to be in the presence of God. It's meaningful. It matters.
Yeah.
You know, how many of you came to church this morning and brushed your teeth before you came? Thank you. Thank you for doing that. You know, how many of you brushed or combed your hair? You know, how many of you got out of your pajamas and wore something besides pajamas to church? You know, and if you're wearing your PJs, I don't want to know. We wouldn't go out, and we don't go out into public unless we do some physical things to prepare to be in public.
Right.
You know, when we get in the presence of God, we're preparing ourselves to face whatever comes in the day.
Yep.
And we need that.
Yeah.
I need that. You know, if I don't pray in the morning, I usually feel like my day is just not going well. I mean, that's just how I'm wired. You know, if I can pray later in the day, but it really helps me tremendously to get in God's presence at the beginning of my day so that whatever comes next, I see it through a different lens.
Yeah.
Because if I don't get with God in the beginning of my day, then my lens is usually me.
Right. Right.
Myself.
Yep.
I get agitated easy. And I don't know why. And I figure, you started off your day on your page. It matters. We want to be in the presence of God. When we're in the presence of God, God's truth can triumph over Satan's lies.
Yep, yep.
And Satan's lying to us every day. And we need to be able to have God's truth to say, that's a lie. I'm not gonna let that have any airtime, because this truth, like what Kirk and Logan were saying, they get anxious. And what do? They shared a verse. Isn't that so awesome?
Yep.
Wasn't that cool to see?
Yep.
They're doing what we should do. And I think that many of us do. I feel anxious, and so I look at this verse, and then I have peace transformed by the presence of the Word of God.
Right.
Our self-esteem. Satan's always trying to tear us down.
Yeah.
You know, so self-judgment, bad self-judgments, and God wants to build us up in the presence of God. That can happen. Peace can overcome worry. Faith can defeat fear and doubt in the presence of God. What do you do to be in the presence of God? What are you willing to do? You know, how hard do we fight to get time with God?
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, fight for the time. Work it out. What can you do different? What can I do different to make sure I get in the presence of God every day? What can we do? You know, what could happen? How can we be successful? Let's think it through and let's come up with a way to be in the presence of God every day. Go to the next slide. It's a caterpillar talking to a butterfly. He says, hey, tell me more about this new 6-week plan you tried. You know, transformed. 6 weeks in the presence of God every single day. What would that do for us? And I'm not saying we don't do that. I think many of us do that. But I think even if we do it, we got to fight to keep it real and relevant.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And it's easy to say, you know, read my Bible, check.
Right.
Prayed, check.
Mm-hmm.
It's also easy to say, well, I'll get to it later. There's all kinds of easy things to do.
Yeah.
We got to fight for being in the presence of God. We got to work at it.
Yeah.
Because we know it matters. And when we do, God will transform us, and it'll be a good thing. I want to talk about verse 7 a little bit. Go to the next slide here. I want to talk about being equipped by God's love. You know, here on the mountain, God showed up in a cloud, and what did he say? He said, "This is my son whom I love." Why did that happen at this moment? Well, let's back up for a minute. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was baptized. When he was baptized, he was coming up out of the water of the river. God showed up. And what did God do? God said, "This is my son whom I love." Right? God filled up Jesus' sails with a big dose of love to start his ministry. And right now you see a repeat. Why? Because he's beginning his journey to the cross. Mm-hmm. What did he need to face the trial that was coming? He needed a big dose of the love of God. What was going to get him through? What's going to get Jesus through the cross? The love of God. Yeah. That's what's going to equip him to deal with the trials that are coming. The love of God is going to equip him. The love of God is going to fill his sails. That's what he needed.
Yeah.
What do you and I need to deal with whatever's coming later today or tomorrow or this week? What do we need the most? I dare say, it's a big dose of the love of God.
Yeah.
And we got to hear it. We got to feel it. We got to believe it. We got to own it. We got to let it in. And we've got to make it real. God's love is what's going to equip us for what's coming. I don't know what's coming for you or me. But I believe that if I can really be in the presence of God, feel the love of God, I'll be equipped to deal with whatever's coming. And I think that's what we see in the life of Jesus here. Go to the next slide there. You know, kids go to school. One day, you know, all of us, we were kids. There's some kids in the room. Before we go to school, what do our parents do to equip us for our day at school? They pack us a lunch, you know, they make sure we have our homework, you know, they make sure we got the stuff we need, make sure we got our hat and our gloves and our coat if it's like this outside, you know. We got all that stuff, and then just before we leave, just before we get on the bus, just before we get dropped off, what do a lot of parents do? Give them a hug, give them a kiss, "I love you." Don't we understand this concept?
Yeah.
We understand this concept. We've lived through this concept in a physical reality, and we're just talking about it in a spiritual reality. We're not going to school, but we're going out in life. And God's saying, "Hey, before you go out today, I just want you to know, I love you. Just want to make sure you understand, I love you, you're awesome. Before you go out and deal with whatever's coming your way, don't forget. Let me pin it on your shirt. You know, let me write it in your collar." Or whatever, you know, whatever you're going to do. You know, sometimes parents put a little note in the lunchbox, you know. They open up their lunchbox and they're like, "Oh, hey, look at that." You know, there's a certain age where that's not cool anymore, but, you know, as long as it's cool, you know, you can try to do that. Go to the next slide. You know, last week we talked about who we are before God. We talked about in God's eyes, I am, you are, wonderful, loved, treasured.
Yep.
Why are these things in the Bible? Because God wants us to feel loved. Because we need to feel it. If we don't feel it, we are going to be handcuffed in dealing with what's coming. We'll come back to that here in a minute. Let's go to the next slide there. Mark 9:21, delivered by God's power. You know, we got a story here of this guy. This guy has got a son who's possessed by a demon. The demon keeps the son from talking and have all kinds of scary episodes where he gets rigid and falls on the ground, foams at the mouth. This demon is trying to kill this, dad's son. Throws him in the water and the fire. We're going to pick the story up in chapter 9, verse 21. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It, the demon, has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help me. Help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything's possible for him who believes. Immediately the father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me though. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed the boy violently, and it came out. The boy looked like a corpse. Many said he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up, and he was well. You know, this is, we just talked about being transformed by the presence of God, being equipped by the love of God. Here we see those two things come together in somebody's life. This man, this dad, was in the presence of God. He wanted healing for his son. And he felt the love of God who reached over basically and removed this demon. He was delivered by the love of God, transformed by the presence of God. But he wasn't a perfect guy. Right. And that's one of the stories that I need.
Yeah.
I need stories like this.
Yeah.
Me and Tim Harlow and Chad were talking on yesterday about the concept of faith and, you know, how do we view having challenging faith? And Wednesday we talked about faith and Gideon and him needing to be reassured. Yeah. And is that okay? We voted. Was it okay that Gideon needed to be reassured? Was that good or bad or neutral? And you know, and there was some discussion about, well, what about that? Shouldn't we have just great faith, and shouldn't that be the end of the story? I think God wants us to have great faith, but God knows our weaknesses, and He works with us like this guy sometimes when we don't have great faith.
Yeah.
Now this guy had some faith, but then he also had a bunch of missing faith, but he had the humility to ask God for help in what he lacked. I need a story like this. I'm inspired by a David who walks up to a Goliath and says, you're going down. I'm inspired by that kind of faith. And I want to have that kind of faith. And sometimes I feel like I broach that. I don't know that I ever feel like I'm that level. But then there's other days where I'm like this guy. I'm not walking in saying, you're going down to the spiritual demon messing with me. I'm being messed with and I'm feeling down and discouraged. And I need a guy like this who I can remember and I can say, okay, you know, I'm not doing great right here. But God, help me. Help me overcome the unbelief. I know you're with me and I believe it, and it's up here, but I've lost it in here. Help me get it back down here in my heart.
Yeah.
And I read this kind of guy and I see how Jesus worked with him.
Yeah.
And I'm encouraged. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus didn't say to this guy, you know what? You got a bad thing going on here. I could see why you're distraught. Here's what I want you to do. First, I want you to go over there and pray and, you know, really purify your heart. Maybe confess all your sins to a friend or something. I don't know. And then come back when you really have some faith, and then I'll heal him.
Right.
No, he didn't say that.
Right.
And I thank Jesus he didn't say that. Because sometimes this is us.
Yeah.
And we can be encouraged that God's still going to work, even when we're this guy. You know, last week, I drive around, and a lot of times I just pray while I'm driving. And so last week, there were two times I specifically was praying, and I just kind of stopped. And I went back to the message last Sunday. because I was feeling discouraged. I was feeling beat up by negative thinking. And I stopped and I said, you know what? God, you think I'm amazing. I said it out loud to myself because I needed it. I'm like, okay, God, you think I'm amazing, and you so love me, and I am treasured by you. I was trying to bring myself in the presence of God. And when I was praying through that and I was reminding myself of that, I was transformed and my spirit was lifted. I need times like that every week. How about you? What are you being challenged by? What negative thinking are you battered by? What is it that you could bring in the presence of God and be transformed through? Because that's what God wants to do. He's up in heaven listening to prayers, wanting to transform you and I. If we'll just step into His presence, if we'll just let Him speak to us, we'll let His love fill up our sails, then He'll equip us, He'll deliver us through whatever we're going through. So, well, why is it always about trials? Well, do you need delivered from a blessing? I don't know, maybe somebody does. I don't find very often that I am discouraged by a blessing, that I need delivered through it. I don't find that very often. When a blessing happens, I'm usually pretty fired up and pretty encouraged, and I feel the presence of God because, hey, you know, every good gift comes from God, you know? And so something good happens, I'm usually not having real trouble with it. When I got to really be intentional in the presence of God is when something challenging is on the horizon. That's where all this comes together. This guy with his demon-possessed son, he needed the presence of God. He needed the love of God. He needed to be equipped and delivered by God because of a trial, not because of a blessing. And you and I aren't that different. So if you're going through a trial, which I'm sure you are, because we all are, or there's a trial coming around the corner that you didn't expect, then let's remember Jesus on the mountain. Let's remember this guy. Let's get in the presence of God. Let's be transformed. Let's remember the love of God and be lifted up. Let's let God deliver us because we are treasured by Him. Let's stand and sing. Yeah.